Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Give me two.
Hey, 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 welcome to the future.
Palazzo.
Utah. Fun here.
Palazzo. Give me two.
Two L's, two Z's. Uncensored, in-your-face, raw coverage of fantasy baseball, dynasty fantasy baseball, because it's the Prospect Power Hour. Myself, Benjamin Chase, Big Gentle Ben on Twitter X, and Robbie Baseball, also known as Robbie Baseball 1 on Twitter X, and MJ Govey. Palazzo Podcast, two L's.
Utah.
Two Z's.
Give me two.
Gentlemen, we are here today to discuss the all-off-season hype machine lineup, and then some. So, specifically, prospects from the 2023 offseason, they got a ton of hype. Where are they now? Yes, we know we're only 2 weeks into the 2024 season, but the offseason can be long and painful, and it's important to have a recall on where the hell we've been and what happened in the offseason. And, Robbie, this is your baby. This is your doing. We serve your pleasure today on the Palazzo Prospects Power Hour.
Thank you. I did volley hard, just so everyone knows, to do Tommy Boy tonight, but yep. Govier insisted we do fantasy baseball. So Cinema 9, not that it's on Cinema 9, but you should just all listen to Cinema 9 in addition to
Palazzo
Podcast. Yeah, there. I don't even need to say it anymore. Let's see. You should listen to Cinema 9 in addition to... I thought you were going to say Palazzo.
Palazzo!
Oh, Utah.
Only after?
Give me two.
I have to say it first. You back it up. All right.
Palazzo.
I don't say anything. The button does it all.
The button.
Okay. Apparently, Ben knows the whole Tommy Boy from beginning to end. He could do the whole movie for us and act it out entirely if we wanted to go that route tonight.
I've got copies down here. 10th year anniversary. We're not getting to get into that.
Nah.
We both have the shirt, Ben. So we're,
yeah.
You know, I've been to Prehistoric Forest. Again, now I've forced it onto the show. I'm sorry. So tonight we've got some quick news to go over just for fantasy baseball purposes. And then we're going to very quickly discuss a couple of the call-ups.
Put that coffee down.
No coffee tonight. Beer only, apparently. Both gentlemen. What do you got, Ben? What are you drinking there?
Guinness. Extra Guinness? Stout.
Oh, shout out to my friend over the weekend. Went to Grand Rapids, Michigan last Saturday for our friend Kelly's birthday, and we had a great time. And she was given the gift of a six-pack of Guinness. That's right. She was very happy.
Nice. I'm just stroking the final bush here from my last trip to Michigan when I picked up my snowplow. And then we're going to switch over to my other American purchase of ham, double M, that I got in... I can't say the state right, but UMass is the university I went to. But I can't say the state. Massachusetts. I basically call it Massive Two Shits. I can't say the state. I don't know. Anyway, moving
massive
on.
Massive Two Shits.
Hey, you know, though, Bush is a great segue into the news, though. With Michael Bush seems to hit a home run every single time he goes up to the every single game.
That's right. Michael Bush spelled the proper way too. B-U-S-C-H. Delicious.
I was listening to my favorite baseball mind, Jerry DePoto, talk about one of his recent prospects, who we'll talk about. But he's making a point as to how the Mariners' pitching is coming around, despite the fact, well, like in spite of the fact that seven of their nine hitters are all below league average right now.
Logan and Gilbert's good.
You know, Bush was up, and he didn't seem to have any trouble hitting the ball hard, almost as if, like, why aren't my players doing this? Because he had himself a fun time with the Cubbies. But anywho, onto fun, exciting news. So Toronto news, back into the rotations getting – or sorry, back into the bullpens getting the bump up. Romano's back. Mm-hmm. Eric Swanson are back. So no one gets the Swanson saves. It's just going to go right into Romano saves, which is exciting for myself because I have a lot of Romano because he was a former – Rule 5 dump back to Toronto. He was selected, traded from San Diego or somebody to Texas and then sent back to the Jays a long, long time ago. Anyway, former top pitching prospect Nate Pearson was sent down and Mitch White's time in Toronto might be over. Do either of you guys care about this? Do you have shares of any of these four guys? Does it
actually
matter?
I mean, it sounds like pretty well-worn territory.
The only thing that matters to me really is that Yimi Garcia is not going to be getting saves anymore. His numbers have been amazing so far this year. If he's able to still hold on to a setup position where he's getting holds, he can have you some value in those type of leagues. But unfortunately, this will be our sad day as far as Chad Green owners. You can officially drop him. He's not getting you strikeouts. He could get you some holds, but his other numbers are just not going to be that good.
Wow, dude.
That's fair. It's time to move on. So farewell. Also, it looks like people are turning on Abner Uribe, just to throw that out there.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But I think
the ERA looks
like hasty.
It's just early.
Yeah. Absolutely. But he struck out the side in Cincinnati a week ago. I mean, he's still, it's not like he's a total disaster. I think it's hasty to bail on Uribe right now. I really do.
He is 100%. What have you done for me lately?
And seriously, he is doing exactly what anyone who had ever watched him in the minor leagues knew he was going to do. He's going to have games where the fastball straightens out. He gets hit. He's going to have games where he has no freaking clue where things are going. That is the Abner Uribe experience. And if you thought you were getting something else, that's on you. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I told some guy, I did, by the way, and I'm starting this now, and maybe I should tell you guys, we should all participate, but I'm doing AMAs on the Fantasy Baseball Reddit, which is a dangerous place for some. Not always kind, but I will give a lot of people credit for participating on Mondays, and every Monday at 12 noon Eastern, the Bluffs Up Podcast will be on live, at least I will be, doing an AMA on the Fantasy Baseball subreddit. And in that subreddit this past week, someone asked me, Abner Uribe, should I hold on to him or move on? And I said, hold on the fort. This was in head-to-head cats. I don't regret saying it. I still stick with it, but I know people are going to freak out today because I think he was just put in the third inning of a game, so people are going to read into that. You could double-check that if it was actually the third inning of this game that's currently in progress, whoever the Brewers are playing tonight, but I think people are panicking because I just... Yeah. Here's how I get my information. Let me give this to you guys, and you guys tell me if you relate to this. I leave work. I see a notification that somebody says in my Twitter DMs, Abner Uribe in the third inning. And this is from Maddie Davis. Shout out to Maddie Davis, Maddie Wood, who knows his shit. And then just now I saw in my home league a notification on my phone that says Hardball dropped Abner Uribe and picked up Joel Pamps. That's how I have my information. So that's how I get it. I don't even go to a website. I don't get it from anybody else. I'm strictly operating on phone notifications.
Uribe came in the fourth inning after the first start of the year for Robbie's favorite lefty, Wade Miley.
Oh, God.
And so they knew he wasn't going to go the full route. Miley wasn't. And so they had it kind of prepped that was going to be, but he's getting a second inning right now, and that's what's kind of interesting to me. Right now he's got through a one inning, but he's kind of getting tagged a little bit in this inning right now, so hasn't given up a run yet, but we'll see.
Well, real quick, and then we'll move on to more exciting, disappointing baseball players. Ben and Mike, who do you want rest of season, Uribe or Kopech?
Oh, Uribe.
Kopech.
I
like it.
Go back
and see that. Yeah, I think there's Jordan Leisure. His first couple times out was shaky, but has been freaking rock solid for like the last three or four times out. So, I think they want to have him take over that job at some point, which would allow them to use Kopech as a fireman. Guy. Well, that or even just like tag him in the seventh inning if the toughest hitters are coming up then, and then you could have Leisure sitting in the ninth for a save, which unfortunately with the White Sox, that might happen 40 times this year, but if they're lucky.
Yeah, 2-13, I think, before last night's play.
I don't give a shit. You know, Daniel Bard had a couple seasons ago had a 30-plus even save on a shit Rockies team. So it can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, shitty teams can't have closers that give you saves. No.
That's well, not at all my argument.
Blue Jays had guys who consistently had 20 save seasons, I think. I'm trying to remember the name of Jansen, I think. At Casey Jansen.
Oh, Casey Jansen? Casey Jansen?
Yeah. Whenever that was. That was before, whatever. But like he was consistently, you know, 20 plus save guy on pretty crappy Jays team. So anyway, speaking of crappy, Tyler Wells, former Rule 5 pick, now on the IL. It was a pretty late move, which is why I'm mentioning it, because we're not sure what's up with him. He was like a buy low possible last year, moved around, whatever. But what has happened since then is catcher David Banuels has been called up, and I think that's just because he was physically with the team. They did, again, DFA live on Soto, who yet again is gone. I'm assuming he's going to go back to the Angels and then get put on waivers, try to get him through. So that one sucks because we don't know the exact next move. They don't have the two most likely type prospect guys to on the 40-man. The guy they do have is, what's it like, Bowerman or something, Zimmerman? It's some guy with a long name that's not going to help us for fantasy. Oh, so Bruce we don't Zimmerman. Need to worry about it. Bruce Zimmerman. Thank you. Yep. Knew it started with an S.
Yeah.
Then Yelich goes to the IL, which opens up regular at-bats for Churio, Perkins, Sal Frelick, and possibly even Joey Weimer. But as we talked about in the last one, that doesn't mean production. That just means opportunity. Dominic Canzone of outfield for Seattle's on the IL. We'll talk about what happens with that shortly. The Dodgers also put Emmett Sheehan on the shutdown list. Berger will not be getting eaten in Miami as he's on the IL. And Edward Cabrera is called up.
Seriously, that was like the worst stinking game to watch because you saw him get injured on a swing and then he went out in the field and like that next inning he had to try and make a falling away from first base throw from third, which immediately he grabbed his side and was like, yeah, I'm done. You could tell on the swing the previous inning he had hurt it and then that just aggravated it bad. But then of course the Braves announcers, the rest of the game, all the burger puns that they could come up with. And that was annoying. So
The burger. You remember that dumb Steve Martin remake of the Pink Panther? All I remember is the trailer where he goes, the burger. And I never saw it. It seemed pretty stupid.
Sounds like Jake Berger, we will be missed.
And you broke my heart here telling me this Tyler Wells news just now. I'm hearing this for the first time. Yeah, but on the flip side, Baltimore fans, Ryan O'Hearn homered for the third straight game. Woohoo! Ryan O'Hearn, if you're not rostering him, I'm telling you, this guy is roster worthy in probably at least 12 teamers and deeper right now. I thought last year was bullshit on Ryan O'Hearn, but I bought in now. I've changed my tune. Yep. He's hit the ball hard on a good team.
Well, and that's the thing. There should be RBIs aplenty, and if they move him back in the lineup, that's not necessarily going to hurt him. That's just going to give more RBI opportunities. But again, he's kind of found money for anybody dynasty playing who may have picked him up last year. So
speaking and he's hitting the cleanup a lot. So that's
great. In Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yep.
But speaking of found money, Ozzie Albee is on the IL again. And David Fletcher, do you guys remember David Fletcher?
Yes, of course I do.
Contact hitter with the Angels. He's called up. It's unfortunate. And then somebody added death to Arigotti on this show note.
What on earth? Is he the one who hit him?
Yep. It was a hit pitch and Ozzie, it was a hard curve. Ozzie was trying to get out of the way and it ended up hitting his toe. And that's what broke his toe. So he finish the game though. I mean, you know, strong like bull, he finished the freaking game. you know, that was impressive, but yeah, no.
Well, be like Cubby Noble, by the way, in the live chat. You can say hello to us, ask questions. The live chat's open to you guys. As long as we're live, we are here for you on Twitter X, YouTube, Twitch. Where else are we? We're available almost everywhere except Instagram Live, so sorry about that. No offense to Instagram. We're just idiots. We don't know how to do it, but get there. We're not going to give up, I swear. I'm hanging in there. Also, I wanted to mention the fact that I knew this was coming. Ozzy Albies, guys, it's the every other year thing. This guy has a great year, and then he gets hurt. He broke his leg 3 years ago and couldn't play, right? And then last year, he came back strong. I know it's absurd to play that game, but I played it this year on Albies, and it kind of worked so far. Sorry, Albie people.
Yeah, I mean, for dynasty owners, this is, you know, business as usual, right? You just don't know what you're going to get. It affects the dynasty Uncle Ted. Good evening. So maybe you're like, you know what? I'm okay at second base, even with Albie's gone. But you know what I could use? A horrible outfielder. Enter Tommy Pham, who's now inked to deal with the White Sox. He was fine last year. You know, he was fine. And we know that he's a big fantasy footballer, so we probably appreciate some guys talking about him in fantasy baseball. Although I don't know how the White Sox are going to be able to make him relevant. They're going to have to go on a run to be fun and exciting. Tyler Fitzgerald, if you need steals, says Uncle Ted. Okay.
True.
What about a player with playing time? Because is Fitzgerald regularly getting at bats, or is he coming in seventh inning and beyond? Because Nick Ahmed just keeps playing baseball. So also, just I gotta get this out. Spencer Strider, along with two of my Roto League seasons, is over. Where I took him in the first round, wanting to, you know, do the pitching thing, it hasn't worked out. Bobby Miller also to the IL, which is very unfortunate because.
Chad is really not happy.
And, yeah, and the bet that he had with Nick Pollock, the pitcher list, it's now void. But I mean, you can always still get inked. So, and then with the last piece of news before we get to call up mentions, Max Meyer was demoted with Miami. And when you look at the record, why? Why not just let him go?
You know why. You know why.
But
you don't need to explain to you. You know.
Yeah.
Just let him pitch. Just let him be a major league player and have time on the roster, you know? And
they did the same thing with Yuri last year, though. So we know this is their MO.
Well, okay.
Saving him.
But last year, they were legit contenders. Mm-hmm. They had a chance to compete all year long, and saving Yuri for the end of the year made a hell of a lot of sense. This year, what in the heck are they saving Max Meyer for? Other than they're playing freaking games in order to make sure they don't have to pay him more money 5 years from now. That's really what this is they're costing him service time so he doesn't hit arbitration sooner. That's absolutely what this is. We're going to send him down and have him pitch three innings once a week. What the hell? You just had him go six against the best offense in baseball. What the hell? Like, no.
Were they in Colorado?
That's the best offensive environment.
Oh, there's a difference. Okay. All right, so call-ups to mention. This dates back to last week, and we did, like, we already mentioned Arigotti, so we'll ignore that, because neither – the second start was better, but he's not on the list, so.
He's been demoted.
He got demoted already,
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll go to Jackson Holla back to AAA already, who's 1-for-20. I only looked at his first at-bat tonight where he – got an RBI but was out. So he does have 4 RBIs, 11 strikeouts, 4 runs, or maybe got a run tonight. I don't know what he did. He did one thing tonight. He must have got a run. But again, 1-for-20 at the point. So it's I'm not suggesting he actually gets put back, but it's just he's overwhelmed with something at the moment right now. And the funny thing is I've noticed on more than one Instagram-like place that I follow where they're now just talking about his brother. And I'm like, oh, so they've given up? They've given up on Jackson, so they're talking about the next one. They're like, yeah, so he's up. So let's start talking about, you know, the next guy, which I find.
Way it goes. Just,
yeah, like sorry, turn the Robbie. Page very quickly. No, just turn the page.
Here
very
I
quickly.
Go, turn the page. You like that Metallica cover? It wasn't bad. Bob Seger, the original, is so good, though. You don't really need a cover.
I was just going to say, but of covers, that one wasn't half bad. But yeah,
that's true. It wasn't. Although I would say the Whiskey in the Jar cover was even better. I really liked that one.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe it's Jarro.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Jarro. Apologies to my Irish ancestors, as you can tell from my, if you can't tell from my beard, I do have Irish blood in me.
Is that gingery?
It is quite gingery. Yeah, I don't have red pubes, but I have reddish beard hairs.
Oh, God. Well, thanks for sharing.
Wow, dude.
Now you know Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. That's a really old reference. A lot of people won't get.
Okay, so we'll quickly go back to the White Sox. That way we can get away from them for the rest of the night. Nick Nastriani, Chicago pitcher, was called up. Did he win last night? Was he the third winner? He just pitched okay, I think.
He pitched better than I thought he would. That's for sure.
Yeah, so maybe that was the win. Maybe for the White Sox, it's very much just like
no. He actually lost the game.
Oh, did he?
He lost the game but pitched 5 innings, 2 runs. I mean, not bad.
Serviceable.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, doing better than Soroka.
What about this?
When do we see Cole Montgomery?
Do we have an idea? Are we looking at June?
We didn't talk about that on the last one for any potential arrivals.
And he will have to beat Tommy Pham in bare knuckle boxing in order to earn a spot on the White Sox roster at this point now.
So. We're talking about Cole Montgomery for the podcast listeners. Yes. Right. He will. I'd love to see that. They should do a pay-per-view of that. I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf is such a tight ass that he would do something like that because it would bring
your
in extra cash.
For Reinsdorf,
right?
Is excellent.
The
way in which you hate him, I love. Because you even talked about him on Cinema 9. You brought it up with like such piss and vinegar. And I'm like, let him go, boys. Let him go.
Well, there's something. It's funny when you try to explain sports things to non-sports people. You have to take a different tact. I mean, Dylan C. said it best.
Jerry Reinsdorf is a complete tool.
So I really can't top that. Thank you, Dylan.
So one thing to note on Montgomery is right now, his line is okay. And Joe's got it right. He's not setting the world on fire. He's got 2 homers, 3 steals, but he's striking out a ton in AAA right now. And I'm sure that's going to be a concern before they bring him up. So
that's a good call. And Uncle Ted makes it clear. Just don't have Tim Anderson on the pre-fight. It would be a 2-hit fight. Anderson gets hit, then hits the floor. Good call. Also, Uncle Ted. I want to give Uncle Ted credit. Matt Waldron of the Padres, he was hyping him up in the preseason in this very live chat again and again. And Matt Waldron has been a solid, useful pitcher right now, even in borderline 12-team aspects, at least in 14-teamers and deeper. So good call, Uncle Ted. I actually followed your lead on that, and Matt Waldron has been of service to me. Thank you so much.
Speaking of, we're talking call-ups, and I just noticed that this isn't on there, and so I'm going to add it right now because I'm thinking of it. Trevor Larnach was in the lineup today for the Twins, which meant Matt Wallner went down. That's the exchange that was made there. So those,
of course he did. Yeah, those, God darn it all.
So, but the Twins are going to keep shuffling that. The way that Emmanuel Rodriguez is hitting, that may only be until about July, and then he might just take over whoever's in that rotation and say, so long, this is now my job. So
Matt Wallner's been a bust. I was big on him. I drafted him several times, that's been a bust right now, big time. Yeah. And I think the sample size was maybe a tad too small. I don't know. He got hurt. You can't blame that, but he's been sitting a lot to start the year even before he got hurt now. But that's a good call. Also, Jose Miranda went 3-for-4 with a dong the other day. He's healthy. He's back on the scene. I'm interested in Jose Miranda, and you all should be too. And you know what else you should be interested in as we move into the next segment here? Robbie's got us covered here. Live on the Pulse Podcast 2 LTGs. Simeon Woods Richardson or Cody Petit. I'll answer that momentarily, Ted. Make sure you follow Mike Virginia @_MikeVA on Twitter X. He does the Sunday Fab Show with Britton Allen. Follow Britton on Twitter. 2 T's, 2 L's. Britton. BRITTONALLA. And
Britton Allen should stick to fantasy baseball.
He tries to stick fantasy baseball. He can't always do that. But make sure you check out the Sunday show. It's a lot of fun. We got this show every week, the Prospects Power Hour. We do the Sunday Fab Show. Get your waiver wire set up for the coming week. And, of course, the Friday Bozo Show. We got all kinds of fun stuff here on the Blonzo Podcast.
Blonzo!
Good time. We're on a roll here, and we're getting closer to 1,000 subs. So thank you, guys. Keep the subs coming. We're getting there. We're getting so close.
So,
okay. Speaking of greatness... Just kidding. Speaking of cheaters, a cheater on a cheater team, Forrest Whitley of the Astros was called up. Honestly, I couldn't care less. Like, prospect fatigue to the max. There's one other prospect fatigue guy on this list. He's the last name on it. But I couldn't care less about Forrest Whitley. Even in a 30-team league, he was dropped last year with 50 minors, so 1,500 potential spots. he was dropped and then redrafted by the guy who's going to love the shout-out, Roto Ronnie. And you know you're on a running your organization the wrong way when you're drafting a plug like this. And then, you know, I'm sure he's going to be calling him up immediately. So I'm assuming this is bullpen. I haven't looked.
He's purely bullpen now. But a 12 ERA this year in three appearances. Like, this is not good. But don't go anywhere near this at all.
Yeah, it's just a name.
It's just an name. Yo, this is perfect. Joe says it's Mark Apple without the good story.
Yeah.
That's a great cop, Joe. Nice job.
Go Tigers.
Lock you in on that one. Oh, go Tigers. But what about this? I think this one's pretty clear. It's probably Poteet, but Simeon Woods Richardson or Cody Poteet, boys?
Well, both of them are back in the minors. So, frankly, you're probably not getting a lot out of either one of them. As far as talk to me in June and let's find out where the Twins are, because I have a feeling they get to June and they're struggling the way that they are on the field, which is going to reflect a lot worse in their record. You might see a few of those starting pitchers offered up in trades, which could give Woods Richardson an open door. And I think he's the better pitcher when he's got opportunity. Poteet might have more opportunity for the short term.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Poteet simply because Simeon Woods Richardson has more prospect value. So in a trade straight up, if you were trying to acquire each guy separately, I think less, you know, value, perceived value would be needed to get Poteet, and your payoff, I think, could be a little better.
Yep.
It's because Simeon Woods Richardson has been a weird thing in a twice traded prospect. You know, they get tag with them of why they've been traded. The team has a promote, you know, whatever. They're trading the chips around instead of promoting them. So for me, I'm not really a Simeon Wood Richardson fan. This was part of the Marcus Stroman trade to the Mets once upon a time, who he's now in the Barrios trade, I believe, was the one that brought him to the Twins.
Wrong. So he's moved for,
are you sure? He's moved for good pitchers.
No, that's wrong.
Twice.
This comment is wrong.
Oh,
SWR is better than
Garland. Uncle Ted.
No. Sorry, Uncle Ted, you know a lot. You are a wise man, but I got to draw the line there. I got to shut that down. Also, Fogues is here. Hey, Fogues, welcome to the show. I love newcomers. Fresh faces, you new usernames. Subscribe, like the video, blah, blah, blah. You know how social media works. I can't believe they're playing Carlos Santana. The Twins. I'm hoping he's done.
If you look at the Twins lineup, the back half, it's really rough. Like if you averages, like it's like looking at the Mariners lineup. You look at it, you're like, wait, the guys are better than this. But then with the Twins, you're like, wait, they're playing all these guys? Like, don't they have bench options who are hitting, you know, at least hitting 200 that they could put in while these other one something guys go? But with the Twins, there's, you know, Santana's just like bottomed out. It's like when Batista was no longer able to do what he could do. But Santana's been kicking around for longer.
At least tonight, they gave Kirilloff the first base start, and they gave the DH role to somebody else. So Santana was not in the lineup at all. I think that was in part because you're facing, because it was Grayson Rodriguez. So it wasn't like they're facing a tough lefty.
That's true.
It stuck. So, but that would be the way to go. And for those of us who, you know, catcher talk, Robbie, just, you know, earmuffs. Ryan Jeffers has been on a freaking heater, and he has been hitting very well. He's been bumped up to the second spot in the order, and I think he's hitting like 400, 500, 700 over the last week. Just really hitting well, and he got the DH spot tonight. So
yes,
when your bat is so good as a catcher that they're getting you time at the DH role, that's a positive thing for fantasy owners. But that doesn't mean Carlos, like has been said, it does not mean that Carlos Santana won't be in there tomorrow. Let's just put it.
Give me two. I'm Michael Govier from the Plato Podcast. Two L's, two
that's
Z's.
That's me.
Yeah, I'm here to offer you too. Five players who I've drafted more than twice this draft season and who will return value beyond their current ADP. Legit depth at catcher this year. And Ryan Jeffers is a borderline all-star. He's going to hit 30 home runs this year, making Christian Vasquez an afterthought. I nailed it. Woo! I'm already taking the win. Lock me in. I have so many shares of Jeffers. He's on every two catcher league I'm in. I'm pretty sure he's at least one of the catchers. I'm really excited about that development, Ben. I'm very, very pleased. The guy's got tons of power. Seriously, I thought a 30 homework season was in order. It really is.
He's a good guy, too. So anyway.
And former teammate Seattle's DH, Mitch Garver, who's also doing the catcher, getting DH things. One of the few in the league. So, and Garver, former Texas Ranger, which allows me to get back.
Transition.
I think I get off topic. You guys are crushing me tonight with it. I love it.
I got a lot to say. I've been off the air for a while. I'm sorry. So
that's what you've been studying hard, and I hope you have success with that test.
You've been very supportive, Robbie. I'm so lucky to have a teammate like you. Thank you, Robbie, so much.
Texas gets lighter, air quote, with the big league club because he's going to be jacking up.
He doesn't get that.
I had you with the first one. Anyway, so he's promoted. Fun and exciting. Texas previously promoted Cole Wynn after Cody Bradford went to the IL, which sucks because Cody Bradford was found money in some dynasty leagues. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of fits our mold from like 2 years ago as a guy who came up, you know, had a little tea sandwich with the Rangers. And then people were like, oh, he's still rookie eligible. Should I get him? And then for one of my leagues where we have in-season drafts, he was picked up by a guy who ended up using him and coming in second overall in that league. So Texas with a couple moves there. And then my most exciting move, not our final one for prospect call-ups, Mitchell Parker, who was promoted and walked into a two-start week for the Nationals. And what did they do and what did I do? You put him in to start against the Dodgers, and he got the win, 5 innings pitched.
Yeah.
This is a high K per nine guy in Double-A. He hasn't enough time in Triple-A that we can really talk about it. But that's great. And, like, why not have a team like the Nationals with pitching troubles? Josiah Gray never got it right this year, then got hurt, and other such negative things. Have a highlight guy like Parker who could come up and be the, you know, fun guy that everybody wants to get behind.
Take it as you will.
I've got him in two leagues. I put a claim in on him in a third, and in one of my other dynasty leagues, we can't pick anybody up who's still currently rookie eligible. Otherwise, I would, because he seems like he could be of service. I don't know how good he'll be, but it's not a bad thing to get a guy like this who had 0% rostered on Fantrax 2 days ago onto your team. Well, I'm curious where he is. You know, I'm not going to look right now while we're doing this, but I'm curious where he'll be in a week because he's just had a two-start week. But getting a win against the Dodgers, and I'm sure, like, he was shaky in the first inning, but so would I if I had one AAA start under my belt and then was, like, called up to go and take on the Dodgers lineup. So, but speaking of the Dodgers, they promoted Landon Knack and Ricky Venasco.
And Kyle Hurt. I just saw that I was looking at the transactions. So just today.
What smells of old sour milk?
I wish I had seen the Hurt one. I would have led with that. That would have been better.
No.
Seattle gets Class A. Seattle gets Class A up to the outfielder.
Let me ask you something, because somebody asked me about Class A. Jonathan. I'm sorry. I don't abide by that name.
There's
Just
call him Johnny.
Come on, man.
Is
this like pronouns? You're not going to do it?
No, I didn't say that. That's different. You know, I do think, you know, when it comes to trans people, we should support them and let them be equal to everybody else in the world. That's an obvious one. But when it comes to Jonathan with no H, that's where I draw the line. And I guess I'm breaking.
That's
fair. Yeah.
I will make sure that we don't get too much negative fan mail because, you know, Lord knows we got to get that bucket completely emptied, Gobier. We got too much of it right now. But Class A is from the Dominican Republic, and so it's very common in Jonathan to be T with not a TH.
Oh, really?
So,
culturally insensitive Gobier.com.
Wow, dude.
You know, I have been to the Dominican Republic. Yep. I've driven the same roads that Oscar Tavares perished on. It's very sad. Makes me very sad.
But
it was real. I thought of him a lot when I was there.
I wonder if those are the same roads that wandered on. You know,
jeez,
damn it.
Anyway,
how did I know? So I brought it.
In the time notes, minute 32:40.
What's a quote? Red Foreman, hate everyone equally. I didn't know that was Red Foreman. Red Foreman's pretty funny. I will admit that. But real quickly, I want to go back to this point up here. Is Yuriel Rodriguez free money, guys?
Today.
In the Toronto Canadian landscape here, where, you know, get inundated with this stuff, Rodriguez is now the second coming. So if you were at all concerned about who would be the next ace, he's right here. He's now with the Blue Jays. Now, if you are outside the bubble of Rogers marketing, this is a plug that we got no clue, because he hasn't faced high level competition in 2 years. I don't think he pitched at all last year professionally. So we need to see what he's going to do with 50 innings on his arm. And I sure as hell would not be banking on him as like plug and play right now. Sure, why not? But I mean, Mitchell Parker's also at the same level. I would put them in that same spot. Rodriguez only has the MLB contract to put his back onto. Such a toss up with him.
So, okay, I have some context.
When loonies or toonies, Joe? Yeah. Loonies or toonies?
I used to write for a site that covered the Twins and made some contacts at the time in Rochester, who still work for the Red Wings, even though they're no longer a Twins affiliate. And they were one of those guys is filled me in that he was near some Toronto Blue Jays, like, upper level folks that came to watch Manoah's start against Rochester, which wasn't pretty if we just look at the numbers, but they said he did everything that they want, or that we wanted him to do. And his, you know, one of the things we as fantasy owners, as fantasy players often don't do is understand that a rehab start for a long-term major leaguer can simply be, we want to see what you've got. We want to see how the fastball is moving. We want to see how you transition. You know, we want you to go through a full time in the lineup using nothing but breaking pitches. You know, things like that that are you would never, ever do in your sequencing in the majors. And so it could lead to some ugly numbers. And if Alek Manoah, it sounds like he might be a start away. He might have one more AAA start and then be coming up to Toronto, which that would then put someone like Uriel into some pretty odd space, because if he's coming up, maybe are they piggybacking the two of them? I mean, I don't know. It's just an interesting, if he's expected to come up, I have no idea what they're going to end up potentially doing for that Toronto rotation. So I am not sold on Uriel just because you're hearing stuff like that about other pitchers. Same thing. Tiedemann had between Tiedemann and Manoah, they had a huge contingent there watching these two guys and preparing for when these two guys are coming up to the majors. So it's not like Uriel came up and said, here's your job. You have it for the rest of the year.
So. Kind of feels like we got trolled a little bit. Troll.
I'm terrified of that potential of Manoah allegedly doing good things with a terrible stat line, that's what they wanted. Because I can't imagine anything more than they want him to just start and have a good start and start and dominate and start and strike everybody out and start and not have balls in play. You know, like I can't imagine they would want anything like you were working your previous opening day starter. He's so far back that you're like, we just want you to work on your curveball. You know, like that's what you do in spring training, or that's what you do post injury. Mm-hmm. So I'm terrified of that. And that's a different show. So I did want to mention with Class A that Jerry DePoto, who I mentioned earlier, said that when they were trying to figure out who they were going to call up, like I called him, he never calls me back. Heard him talking. And he said they were trying to figure out what to do with this call-up with Canzone gone. And they said that, you know, they had two options that they could have brought up, but they thought they needed a spark in the lineup. And he used the term someone that was electric, because power and 80-grade speed. And that's what they wanted, was something to change it up with Seattle. Because
pick up the phone and start dialing.
And they did. And they called him up, and now he's there. And we'll have to see what the first 30 at-bats are and when the playing time is or is not doled out for him. But this looks like it's only going to be, you know, until Canzone's back. So this could be 3 weeks. But, I mean, baseball happens. So we'll see with that. I do have two final ones. So we've got the Marlins have called up 28-year-old catcher Yanni Pareda. who could be a sleeper after 68 games of AAA with the Reds last year, 325, 405, 468 line. Just in the Marlins AAA system, but now he's up in the Marlins catching, has been league worst for offensive production. Sorry, I had two left because I lied. Chicago Cubs have promoted longtime outfield prospect, the second guy with prospect fatigue, Alexander Canario, who did come up last year, you know, but then went back down. And he didn't get to play when he came up. It was an odd call-up.
But the
final one, the Dodgers with Andy Pages.
Yeah, I've seen him live.
Called him up. Yeah. So they have the Dodgers have taken Pages out of the other clubs mentioned and they promoted him.
I saw him get whacked with a pitch, like in the head.
Oh, with a pitch.
Right in front of me at Arizona Fall League. And he stayed the game. He was okay, but it was really scary. It was right there on a Friday night, I believe. It was intense.
The sound of a ball hitting a helmet is a very terrifying sound.
But isn't it very likely we're looking at it's going to be difficult for Pages to have regular playing time, right?
No, I would say no right now. Long term, absolutely. But right now.
Oh, long term. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I mean. Sorry.
Chris Taylor is crap right now. And you've got Hayward out, which really leaves their corner outfield in some kind of desperate moments at the moment and or desperate straights at the moment. And so I think
these are the moments.
I think that you will see Pages get some pretty regular left or time against lefties. And it's just he'll get kind of a share against righties with guys like Taylor. And Taylor Trammell is also still kicking around.
No, he was DFA today.
Oh, was he DFA? DFA
okay. Did, yeah. Oh.
Good, sorry, I didn't put that in. It was such an unimportant note that I didn't even put it in the notes. Yeah,
no, it is.
Now it is important, and I should have done it. Oh, my God.
So, okay.
This is why I don't get paid.
The other guy that he would potentially be working with is Kike Hernandez. So you're talking about two utility guys and a potential, like, 30 home run, 20 steal guy. Which one are you going to keep playing? If Pages comes up and does anything like what his talent says he could.
Trash, garbage.
Well, Ben,
that was an old man.
What would 29 teams normally do? Would they play the old wily veteran, or would they play the potential upstart guy? Well, we know what the Dodgers would do, and that's Kike Hernandez will get every opportunity to earn those at bats.
What would Brian Boitano do? That's what you should really ask yourself, Robin.
Oh my gosh. Yes, because
that's a classic.
So my gosh.
Also, Uncle Ted says, Pages is playing with no Jason Hayward, and he's been raking. That's a good point. Yeah, jump in the live chat and tell us how we got it wrong or what we're missing. Robbie, are we ready to move into the lineup yet? I'm just asking for the show.
Absolutely. At minute 41, we're ready to move into hype lineup numero uno.
Palazzo Podcast, two L's, two Z's.
You talk.
We're live.
Give me two.
Big Gentle Ben on Twitter for Ben. Robbie Baseball 1 for Robbie on Twitter X and MJ Govier. Of course, our other fellas, Britton Allen, Mike Virginia, underscore Mike VA. Who else am I missing? Oh, that Sam guy, Sam Wershing, Sam FBB1 on Twitter. He's awesome. He's a really great dude. So let me play this intro for 2023 offseason all hype machine lineup. It's short, but lovely. Cool. Look at that video. Oh, who's that stealing second? Can you guess who that is? Anybody?
No.
That was tough. Here we go. One more time. Yeah, all right, here we go. So who's this guy stealing second? This is really tough to see because I don't know if you can pull that off.
Victor Scott. Not...
Hey, a fast guy in the minor league stealing second base. That was a good guess, and it was Victor Scott. Very good, Ben. Well done. When's the last time you reviewed the Palazzo Podcast? Great time to do it is right now, because we got some pointless commercials coming up for you next. The Palazzo Podcast will return after this.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, Robbie, it's all yours, brother. This
all
is
right,
your show.
So I'm going to say all of the lineup, and then we can circle back and discuss everybody that we feel is relevant. So the idea behind this is that these were people that had less than 20% ownership on the Dynasty sites, your CBSs of the world, your if you play ESPN, your Yahoo, as well as Fantrax. A lot of people on the Facebook Fantasy Baseball universe play Yahoo or ESPN. Sorry, they play a lot of ESPN, and it shocks me that I hear a lot about it. Yes, it is.
That's funny. That's a whole world I don't understand, Robbie. Facebook Fantasy Baseballers, I still have not been able to penetrate it because I don't care to spend enough time on there. So I guess I'm blowing it.
I just look and see what's going on. A lot of it are pretty annoying threads about, you know, players that are not relevant in 10-team leagues. So it's hard for me as a 30-team deep dive kind of guy. But anyway, guys who were not highly owned or rostered in these leagues. So at catcher, the kind of number one guy was Theron. Oh my God. Why didn't I pick easier names?
Lorenzo.
Lorenzo with the Dodgers. First baseman. I'm going to get it wrong anyway, so I just put it as A, but Albimic Ortiz with Texas. Second base. This was kind of a competition between the roster A and roster B, but I'm giving it to Oliver Dunn as a lowly roster guy.
Oh.
Shortstop Ryan Ritter with the Rockies, who had a hot first half. And then we had a tie with third baseman Justice Bigsby with Detroit at AAA now, and now MLB or AAA or Graham Pauly San Diego. And then we get into this five things of outfielders. Victor Scott with St. Louis, Blake Dunn with Cincinnati, Nelson Rotta with the Angels, Joey Loperfido with the Astros, Luis Baez also with the Astros, and then Padres' Jacob Marseille. This is the lineup that people were trying to scoop these guys up, thinking these are legitimate prospects who can help me that were not previously thought highly of. So 2022, end of season, people weren't all excited about them. But now everybody's in. Anybody here care about any of these guys? I mean, Victor Scott, anyone who drafted him, which I saw in three Dynasty first round drafts. They're happy he came up, but they're not happy if they're starting him.
So really the only guys on this entire list, and I'm just back checking myself here. The only guys among the hitters that are actually hitting well to open the season are the ones on Texas clubs.
Yes.
Ortiz is crushing the ball. Still, the thing is, he only has one home run, but I've watched just a couple of his games, and oh my gosh, when he gets a hold of one, he's missing foul. Like, I think he is just a little too jacked up. When he sees a pitch he wants to jump on, he's not letting it travel all the way. And I've watched him hit some like 450 foot bombs that are three seats foul, which, you know, that sucks when you're doing that, but Loperfido is right now leading all of baseball, majors and minors, in home runs. And
where did this name come from? I never heard you guys talking about Loperfido in the offseason. Oh, yeah. I missed it.
We talked about him on the Houston show.
That's what I'm saying. Of the Houston show, I hadn't heard a ton of talk about him.
I had him as kind of a borderline top 100 guy, just because he seemed like the type of player that would come up to Houston and do really well, because he could play about five positions and had really solid speed, good enough power that you thought, yeah, that's a guy that could pop out 20 every so often, but probably get a lot of doubles. And he is gearing up for home run power, and it's been incredible to watch the ball just fly off his bat so far. But then Luis Baez is the other one, and apparently Robbie's a big fan, but he's hitting well in high A right now so far. So Robbie,
that one is long gone.
Give us some Luis Baez love.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we did talk about him. Hey, Jamie. Mm-hmm. We did talk about him in the offseason a bit. But what I like is that this is a power, I think he's a shorter outfielder. Mm-hmm. But again, this is someone who could actually be in Houston's lineup in two-ish years, when the time comes. And they've done a bad job, in my opinion, of promoting their outfielders and giving them regular playing time.
Houston's?
We saw it.
I agree.
Prime case is what's his nuts that's now with Tampa Bay.
Durden?
Jose Siri.
Siri.
And then last year with Corey Jukes, he was the jump up guy who was similar to this, where he would, as an offseason 2022 to 2023, this could be a guy. He came
then
up.
Then they brought in my boy Cabbage.
Yes, and everybody, we'll talk about him shortly.
Man.
The idea is to promote and play these guys, not promote and then make them your bench players. Let them play in AAA. And that's my fear with Loprofido, is that he could come up and be that guy. And I'm just trying to check very quickly where Joey Lowe was drafted in a couple of the Dynasty Leagues.
He Don't was be that 20- guy.
A 29th pick in one draft that drafted in August last year. He was a 52nd pick in our to be named later league. So second round pick for us, and then the other league I would check, but we're already done talking about him. So either way, Baez is a guy that I really like. Blake Dunn is someone who I picked in the second round of that same draft a little bit later. And he's just someone who I'm like, people like him. Right now he's a popular pick. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I did pick Bigsby as well later on in that draft, thinking this could be found money because the Tigers' third base situation is by no means cemented. And of course, he could move, right? He could move it, whether that's left field or, second base. I don't know. But I liked him. And Rada was somebody we did talk about last week as well. And we're just going to see what's up with him. So he's kind of interesting. On the pitching side, if we were to set up the hyped offseason rotation, and I mean, if he was taken in your leagues, good for you guys, and yada yada, I don't care. These are the guys who were popular picks in several dynasty leagues in and around fantasy baseball land. So Chase Hampton of the Yankees, or Drew Thorpe, formerly of the Yankees, formerly of the Padres, currently of the White Sox, Carlos Rodriguez with Milwaukee, Richard Fitz, formerly of the Yankees, now of Boston. What the hell, Yankees? Tampa Bay, Yaniel Curet. I'm sure I said that right. And again, the Yankees with what's his nuts? H. Lalane.
Henry. Andre.
Henry.
Oh, Lalane. Henry. Yeah.
Well, I could have written that in if I looked. I mean, anyway. So of those guys, I drafted Chase Hampton in a first round. I drafted Carlos Rodriguez top 40. I drafted Richard Fitz twice. And missed out on Curet in several drafts and Lalane in every draft because one guy was like, this is an ace. And I think his build scares me more the more I look at it. But
Genius.
What about you guys?
So I'm a big fan of what I've seen out of Drew Thorpe this year. And granted, a lot of folks were all over him after, I think he was either the leader or one of the top five guys in strikeouts in the minors last year with the Yankees. But he took another level as far as the way that he works and sequences his breaking pitches. And it's allowing the change. His changeup is absolutely an elite pitch. And it's allowing the other stuff to play up around it because he's using the breaking pitches better. He did a lot of fastball changeup games last year. And he's using the breaking pitches a lot better. He looks like a future, middle of the rotation type starter and looks really good so far. Hampton and Lalane are two guys. I love what Lalane looked like last year in the small views I got on him. But he's not pitched yet, and neither is Hampton. So you really don't have any looks at him yet. The one who's really stunk it up is Carlos Rodriguez, which is kind of sad because I think he might have had a chance to get some time in Milwaukee had he come out really pitching well. So that's a shame.
When I looked at him
last week when we were lining stuff up, I'm trying to pull it up now as I delay, but when we looked at it,
he had
decent Ks. Yeah, so he's got 17 Ks and 12 and a third innings pitched. But the whip, 1.865, and the Hirare north of 8, not ideal from AAA. I mean, you know, to Ben's point about Manoah earlier, maybe he's just working on stuff. Maybe he's just working on stuff and it's okay. And Milwaukee, like, no, he's not. He's not pitching well, yeah, but he is overwhelming some of the hitters at AAA. So hopefully he can get it right because he's important to a lot of us dynasty guys.
Little trouble there.
And redrafters, he should be one of those mid-season guys you could hope for a strong second half out of because he did pitch in a flash here that he's not in trouble of. He'll be shut down. So
stay out of trouble.
Yeah, and Fitz is another guy who could potentially come up, but
Big Fitz,
Richie Fitz. I think Richie Fitz is the right way, especially for
Ricky Fitz, Boston. American Beauty. You remember that movie? The Next Door Neighbor is called American Ricky Beauty. Fitz, yeah. And Kevin Spacey would be. I know Kevin Spacey's canceled, but he's in the movie still, and he's all stoned. He's like Ricky Fitz, Ricky Fitz.
You are very excited about that. Good on you, man. Enjoy that.
I didn't get the response from Robbie I was hoping for. Oh, you know, he brings up movie references, and then I do it, and I get nothing. So I feel like I failed you there. I'll do better next time. Actually, a reference from that movie featuring Ricky Fitz. Thank you for teaching me. Don't give up on me, Dad. Yeah. After father beats his own kid's ass.
And he is that has acted so poorly in that scene. Not to dive into the movie, but that just seems like they had to do it 19 times and he had nothing left. And they were like, we need one more take. And that was the one they used. So
well done.
On the pitching front, a lot of the draft, like, you know, a lot of these guys I saw in first round picks, Ortiz with Texas was a first round pick in at least two drafts. Victor Scott was a first round
pick. And FYPD?
In just prospect drafts. So not first year specific. This would be not excluding FYPD because there's
just
only
clarifying. Like,
yeah. So this would be if it was just a generic prospect. Hampton, same thing. I see no changes. Thorpe, Rodriguez, same deal. Those guys were all top rated guys, top 50 guys for sure, if they were available for your draft. Now when we move into the second lineup here, I have titled it the not all the youngest guys, but still rookie eligible.
Yeah, still some hype, right?
Three. Yes, absolutely.
Nice job. The time code master, Robbie Baseball.
Kaboom. So we've got catcher David Fry with Cleveland, which is embarrassing because I passed him up in every league. And the last time I looked, I feel like his OPS was like 1033 or something stupid. And
come on, he's played like three games.
That's exactly. You don't want to roster this guy, but when he doesn't get out, it frustrates you. Noel Shanwell was
also a catcher.
Yes, he's a catcher for sure. And he did have multi-position eligibility. So if you play on Yahoo, he's probably eligible everywhere. But on the rest of the sites that are credible, you know, I mean, look at the average, 304 right now. So
you're dissing Yahoo, but I still love Yahoo, but I also can laugh at you.
Yeah, like Yahoo's a generic site that a ton of people play on with. Like my home league's on Yahoo, so I like to crap on it because I say, why can't we move it to Fantrax? And then everyone else in the league is like, shut up. And then I'm like, come on. And then they tell me to shut up again.
I've
so
been
anyway.
There, dude. I've been there. I will say,
I'm
though,
2-0 in
ESPN
that league right now.
Is worse.
2-0.
So. All right. ESPN is still worse than Yahoo. I don't care what anybody says. ESPN is the bottom of the barrel of all platforms. And I'm locking that in.
Nolan Shanwell, who was drafted last year, but he was also promoted. So he falls under the, you know, young. But he wasn't, like, highly sought after because he was drafted last year. So he falls there. Second base, Davis Schneider. We'll definitely get into him. David Hamilton's the shortstop I picked with Boston. This is essentially Govier's draft in the one dynasty we're in together.
More than one. All of my dynasty teams,
really. Third base, Ignacio Nacho Alvarez. I just put this on here for Ben because I figured he wanted to talk about him. And then the outfield quad of Willier Abreu with Boston. I'll give him his own line. Why not? Even though, you know, fuck the Red Sox.
That's very nice of you.
Wade Meckler, who was super popular until he got called up with the Giants. Yes. And great season until he got called up. And then people were like, I don't know about him. Outfield, Jacob Hurtubruti with Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's dumb. There's a whole story there about my team and our league, which is stupid.
And then outfielder Trey Cabbage, who was with the Angels at the time of all these offseason moves. And then he was traded to Houston. And it actually looked better for him with the trade. And then he was, demoted, whatever. I put demoted. But so anyway, of these guys, Fry is like frustrating. But I'd love to hear your thoughts and feelings and emotions about the rest of these guys.
Well, I want to jump in real quick, Ben, because, I mean, Robbie's right. This represents a big portion of several of my minor league guys on multiple dynasty teams. The triumvirate, the trifecta of David Schneider, David Hamilton, and Trey Cabbage, which I'm actually the least excited now about Trey Cabbage, with my second going to Davis Schneider. Now, David Hamilton second, and then David Schneider's first. But Schneider's getting outfield eligibility. He now has it in some platforms, which has opened up opportunities, but he still doesn't play every day. But I tell you this, Dalton Varsho stinks. Dalton Varsho without catcher eligibility is not a rosterable fantasy asset, in my opinion. He doesn't hit for a good enough average, and he doesn't show enough power. And it's just not a guy who wows you in fantasy. Dalton Varsho to me is no good, and I'm hoping David Schneider can be the guy who gets more of his playing time as the season progresses. But overall,
he's a trap player for fantasy, Govier. Varsho is a trap player where people are going to give him credit that he doesn't deserve, and he's going to hang around rosters, and like in a trade, you know, you're going to be able to get more for him than you will from him. A 100% trade guy, and Schneider with the OPS potential, the power potential, is just a better player.
Nailed it, Robbie. Nice job. Ben?
So, I want to say that I know how much you love David Hamilton, and Willier Abreu is getting some time, but one of the guys not mentioned on here that was a Boston guy and getting lots of love ahead of the season was Sadan Rafaela, and he has he's now getting time both at short and in center field, and it's been a slow start offensively, but he's flashed some impressive raw speed, and then plus the guy can turn on a ball and would be someone you would maybe expect to get 15 home runs or more.
Tough start. On.
But yeah, he's had a tough
start.
He
hasn't been good.
But defensively,
Julio Rodriguez has also been terrible, Ben. Like Julio has been terrible. JP Crawford has been terrible. I think they'll be better. Rafaela will definitely get more playing time than Hamilton. I'm not sure what Hamilton has done to not deserve regular playing time with the Red Sox, because he just seems like the guy that if you put him in to start and he gets on base, he'll probably steal it. But they're really holding him back. It seems like that to me anyway, which
well,
is
Valdez
fine because I want
hurt.
The Red Sox.
Emmanuel Valdez got hurt, which helps Hamilton's situation. He's playing almost every day.
Like, you know, story's toast. It's the opportunity's there. It's just a matter of, like, you know, earning your position, which when you drafted Hamilton, he did not have playing time certainty because of those blockages. Mm-hmm. Schneider, it kept going down by the weeks as Toronto would sign another scrub and another scrub and another scrub. It got a little scary. And then, like you said, like Rafaela was more of a 2022 offseason, 2023 acquired guy who everyone's like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be a stud. And now it's more like, what is he going to be? Like you said, you know, the potential is there. But is Boston going to, like, give him the position? Or is someone like Willier Abreu going to chip away at it a bit for him?
And that's the thing. I think right now, I mean, the other thing is Rafael is also playing second base some too. So, but defensively, depending on what
he's like the Mookie Betts of the Red Sox.
There you go. That's
fucking stupid.
No, but
that's putting it mildly.
Seriously, it's not on BREF. I can't remember what site I saw it on, but they already had him for a full defensive WAR this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay.
So, I mean, when you watch him in center, he's absolutely a natural out there. It's a lot of fun to watch out there.
And then Florence Nightingale over here and play a little defense.
Yeah, there you go. You know, a little defense.
That's a deep cut. No way could guess this movie. This is too difficult.
Florence Nightingale over here and play a little defense.
That's a tough one.
But
oh man.
But I will say one of the things that a lot of folks like Nacho coming into the year. Nacho came to spring training in a lot better shape than he has. I mean, not that he was ever in bad shape, but he really worked on his conditioning because he wants to stay at short. And so he's already got 5 steals this year. I mean, he's a high instinct sort of guy, but with the improvements he did physically, that speed is really playing up on the bases. And that could be an asset. You know, I thought, you know, he's going to be a high contact, high OBP guy that might be more of like an Omar Infante type that gets, you know, 10 homers, 10 steals, that type of stuff. If he stays in this kind of shape, I think he could steal a lot more bases.
Yeah, this is an intriguing guy. I need to know more about Nacho Alvarez Jr. Very cool. He's at Double A, having a good time right now, living it up. But I do have to switch it over and spotlight it because I want to be honest. I want to tell you guys the truth that I blew it, you know? Trey Cabbage was a mistake. He put up a really good line for his AAA effort at Salt Lake City in 2023, which makes him look like he's a stud. And he had moments with the Twins, too, in the minors. But he doesn't hit the ball that hard. And I got to be fully honest here. Full transparency in case I didn't give enough of it to everybody.
That's putting it mildly.
I remember, I think around like March 18th or so, looking at Trey Cabbage's Statcast and his hard hit rate and being very disappointed and having the sudden realization wash over me, despite all of my promoting of Cabbage in the offseason, that I knew Trey Cabbage is not who I thought he would be, even ending up in Houston and getting an opportunity. Nope. He's just, he misses too many bats. He doesn't hit the ball hard enough and he can't be consistent. So therefore he can't be a regular major leaguer. And I'm definitely having to say goodbye. Trey Cabbage. So long, Trey.
No. So does that mean you're going to cut him, or does that mean I can trade, I can get him?
Oh, you can trade for him for sure. Yeah, come get him.
Okay.
I'm not going to cut him.
I'm staring at my roster. I will send you, because Trey Cabbage is hitting .313 right now in AAA.
I'm sure he is.
I was going to say, some guys might only be AAA perfect, and some guys might need the right situation. I don't know if Houston, like I said, with outfielders is the right situation. But I will find someone whose name you may recognize that you might just hit accept on the trade. And we'll see what happens.
Okay, cool. Let's make it happen.
Because we're both, you're sitting 24th in that league. And I'm, or
yeah, 25th, I'm 0-2.
And I'm 20, whatever. Yeah, we're both 0-2. I ran up against a team that put up like the most points in League One or in Week One, which was terrible for me. I need time to pass. I got Scherzer and Romano that I need in my line, which I guess I can put Scherzer in or Romano in for the weekend. But anyway, okay. We'll talk about that after. The pitchers, these are the guys, again, who, you know, may have had a little bit of time or may have been like their next man up. We were excited about them, but we were not thinking, here come the aces. We have Will Warren. Freaking Yankees. Will Warren with the Yankees again. They do a hell of a job hyping their guys up. Mitch Spence with Oakland. Now, this was strictly related to the fact he was a Rule 5 pick and looked to have a rotation.
And a former.
And a former Yankee. My God. There you go. Takeo Roby, who I'm pretty sure I spelled Takeo wrong, but I don't care.
Oh, you totally did. It's T-E-K-O-A-H. And I know that from our St. Louis Next Big 3 episode. Check that one out. We got all 10
episodes
in a playlist. You both were on it, and it was a great show. Check out our Next Big 3 2024 edition playlist. 10 episodes, 30 teams. Awesome prospect fest.
Yeah, so Takeo Roby, Keaton Wynn with San Francisco, who we did get a little bit of discussion about the effectiveness of the slider, et cetera, with him, could be good. Sawyer Gibson Long, who I think had a little bit of time last year, but right forearm tightness, he didn't get on this year. This right forearm tightness is scary.
He had a double-digit strikeout game late last year that got everyone hard.
Okay, there it was. That Jacob Lopez, who also had a little bit of time with Tampa Bay last year, and that was like mop-up duty, but he started with the mop-up. Noah Davis with Colorado, who was depth chart-related excitement for people. Like, this is a prospect I could draft late who could play, but it's Colorado pitching. Like, I know the state of your dynasty team when you're doing this. I do it, too. You're just looking for potential. But that park, Coors, will kill him. But Davis wasn't good in AAA last year, but still seems like he's very high up on the depth chart to come up, but he'll get eaten alive, very much like the last guy, Bonin Francis with Toronto, who it has not gone well with him in the Blue Jays. And I believe he's now out of starting. Rodriguez, I think, is taking over. Whatever we're talking about with Manoah, the like opener, whatever scenario, it's confusing, conflicting, and upsetting with this list of guys. But there is... I mean, Keaton Wynn of this group, I think, is the obvious winner. But what say you guys? Will Mitch Spence has his first win, so that's exciting.
So I was just
hey, famous Jake.
I was looking up all these guys as we were talking.
Because you're like, who the hell are these guys?
No. I was just curious what the numbers say, and
Ben knows everybody.
Mitch Spence is the only guy so far with an ERA under 5, wherever he's at.
At 2 weeks into the season.
At any level, wherever level they're at. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Look at those eyes.
4.15.
Beautiful.
4.15 ERA, 139 whip, 5 strikeouts in 8 2/3. I mean, he's not doing anything real special. He's their mop-up guy. But if you want, if you played all of these guys, he's the one that hurt you the least.
Yeah, that.
Oh, beautiful.
That's probably true. Also, Uncle Ted on the live chat. You guys can jump in anytime. Keaton Wynn has a great whip and will break out tomorrow against the Rays. And Uncle Ted's been pushing Keaton Wynn all preseason. I was already interested in Wynn preseason. We talked about him on the Giants show. Also talked about Keaton Wynn in separate episodes on the Prospects Power Hour. Lots of podcasts.
You talk.
Two Z's.
Give me two.
I was concerned because he had that elbow inflammation, I believe it was, Keaton Wynn did in the preseason, which scared me off, but he's come through that. So I guess it's party time?
I mean, it's not kicked out of the rotation time, but the 0-3 start doesn't look the best. Now, his stat line, where are we sitting here? 468, 35 Ks in 42. That's last year. 13 Ks in 16 innings, 506 ERA. But again, like, are we going to say that this is early season? Are we going to say this is a sign of things to come? I think the fun part is that unless you got a first or second round pick on him, like if you went that high, if it was later than that, you're okay to like see how this plays out. But if you like really bought in last year, you're probably pretty pissed. And if you were one of the guys who said the slider, the Gausman effect, blah, 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 I understand the excitement of that with the organization. We talked about on this very podcast that that could be a really good thing for him. I think that was the Bozo Fest, perhaps, that conversation came up.
Bozo Fest! Opening day Eve.
Like, it's exciting, but that's the problem, is it's exciting without it being, like, player-specific. It's organization-specific, and the player throws the pitch. Those two things aren't the same. Not that he couldn't, you know, turn it around, but, like, the fastball velo is good. It's like... You know, that's not ideal to be like, hey, he throws it hard. You know, we see that. It's supposed to be that the swing and miss pitch, and it doesn't seem like he's got it. So, and Spence is with like a horrible organization to be with for wanting fantasy stats. So he's obviously a long play, but I do have him in two leagues because
I don't know who Bozo is. What is he, a clown?
Not a starter, but a young guy still. Who sucked it up so far this year? Hunter Brown.
Why you gotta bring that up, man?
No, went out tonight, 6 innings with 1 run allowed so far. He's now granted,
yes!
They've still got him pitching. They've got him pitching in the 7th, and there are 2 base runners on with nobody out right now, and the middle of the Braves lineup coming up. But right now, that's the situation. He's only allowed 1 run through 6. But what the
great news, Ben. Thank you for that.
What the frick with Ronaldo Lopez? I'm sorry. I'm a Braves fan. I had no belief in this guy as a starter. And third game in a row, he's gone 6. And so far tonight, it's 6 scoreless with 7 strikeouts and, you know, 1 walk.
It's the White Sox effect. You know, it's affected Crochet and Lopez. I think it was 2018 that Reynaldo had his best pro year, if I'm not mistaken. And he was excellent in that year. And I don't remember if he faded down the stretch or was perfectly fine in September. But I was in a CBS 24-team league. And like I said about Colorado guys before, I knew my team was good but not great. I was collecting Colorado starters off the wire. Yeah, okay, so 2018.
188 innings, 3.91 ERA.
Beautiful. Yep. And that was when I think Giolito was shit. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, Giolito
went. Yep, that's right.
And because, like, was just watching the Sox to see what was going on with that. And it was dynamite, found money with him. But since then, wheels fell off. And it was one of those, he's got all the talent, he's not putting it together, yada, yada. So this deal, Ben, when he went and got the money, I thought, I guess they're just assuming he's going to do whatever. Like, there's going to be an adjustment they know of or that they believe in enough to
Reynaldo spend that Lopez?
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah, to get him back. Yeah. I mean, this is great, but, like, you know, usually you spend $10 million on an SP5 veteran-type pitcher. And I guess at that point, they've got a deal for him, right? Because isn't he averaging 8? Is that what it was? Like 3 or 24 or something like that?
It wasn't big. It makes a lot of sense. Also, no Spencer Strider anymore. They're desperate. Yeah. I mean, they, well, shit. What was?
And
all of a
sudden, he's important to them. Instead of being very much like Hicks as like an option type starting pitcher, Lopez is one of those guys who you should be able to pencil in for 30 starts because he has done it before. So
I started Hunter Brown. Jamie says, how many started Hunter Brown after the bad outing last week?
Minus
I absolutely did in my home league. Lock it in.
Bad news for you. Brown just walked the bases loaded in the seventh and was pulled for a reliever that I think has three duties. One of them is to refill the water jug. The second one is to allow home runs. And the third one is to walk batters. And so,
is it Abreu?
No, Sean Dubin. And I don't have good feelings as far as... No, because see, that's the thing is last night's game, the Astros emptied the bullpen of all their normally useful guys except for... And then, of course, Hader made it look like it was a lot more distant of a game because he blew up in the ninth, but it was like a 1-0 or 2-1 game going into the ninth. Huh. And so
well, that sucks for me, but that's okay.
So they're kind of low on quality arms that they can use in this game tonight, and it's a 1-0 ball game, so this could be a not this could be a not a good thing for Houston Astros fans.
What do you think about this? Do we know anything about Bryce Elder? Famous Jay wants to know. You know, he did well last year. Elder got really lucky last year, though, folks, and he did not miss a lot of bats. That's something to remember.
So, Elder, one of the big things that I noticed as the season went on, early on in the year, and I don't know what it was that he had kind of in his going on in the system that made it work so well for him, but in he was getting into the sixth and seventh innings and you didn't notice any difference in his velocity. Later in the year, once he got that second time through the lineup, by the time he went out to try to finish out that second time through the lineup, we're talking, he's hitting 88 tops. That's, that isn't going to play at the major league level. It just isn't. It becomes a, you know, batting practice fastball. And he's had good look or good numbers in the, I think, one start, maybe two starts with in AAA so far this year. But the breaking stuff isn't breaking the way it did. And he's sitting at 89, maxing out at 90. It's just not going to play.
Chris Medlin flashback. Wow. Medlin
was a legit guy that they
he had injuries that really messed him up. Yeah. Chris Medlin was fun for a minute.
Medlin was basically their version of Jabba Chamberlain.
Come on, Famous Jay. Wow. Elder can't be worse than Max Fried at this point. Wow. Uncle Ted says, give me AJ Smith Shaver. Yeah, no. I hear you there. By the way, who was more lucky last year, Kyle Finnegan or Bryce Elder?
Dude.
Discuss.
Yeah. I want neither one of them on my fantasy team. So is that
me neither? Yeah.
That's putting it mildly.
Okay. I've got a question for Govier, if I may.
Yeah.
As a Detroit Tiger fan, I think from your shirt and everything you say, Casey Mize, are you happy with what's going on?
Tigers.
He had a great start today. Are you pro Casey Mize or are you of the Tiger fan base that's like, yeah, he walks too many guys. I don't care about him for fantasy.
I'm down with, you know, he hit 6 innings today, 6 Ks, solid outing. Didn't get the win, but it's a quality start. Yeah, I mean, why not? They need every pitcher they can use, but I just, from a fantasy perspective, have doubts how much you'll get out of Mize this year. I mean, what are we looking at for an innings cap? It's just so long, coming back from injury, and it's hard for us to remember that I think in 2021, he pitched 150-plus innings. So he's done it before already, but that was a few years back. So I'm down as a not a blind loyalist, Robbie. I'm not a diehard blind loyalist to my teams. I question my teams. I challenge my teams because that's what you do in America. You speak your mind and you don't point out any facts, okay? But
yeah.
I don't know how they do it in Canada, Robbie. Actually, they kind of do the same thing over there now, too. But I will say that Mize as a fantasy asset, I don't know how much we'll get out of it. I'm mildly interested. But from an actual baseball perspective, it's exciting. I'm all about it.
Yeah, so far so good, right? Like, relatively speaking, because Reese Olson on the other end of it had a crap start last week. I started him. Then he had a great start this week, but I sat him. And now I hate Reese Olson. So Govier left the chat. Okay, so Ben, well, he's gone. So I've got the Tommy Boy. All right, so let's walk through it. So Tommy is partying at opening scene. Tommy is partying at school, and his life is great. Let's go from there. So,
Kofi ain't getting here. That's awesome.
You know, one of the hardest things.
Oh, your headphones are still working.
Yeah, I always have. They're Bluetooth, baby.
Bluetooth. So
one of the hardest things to do in fantasy is to start a guy after he burns you so badly. Hunter Brown, for example, and then of course Reese Olson. It's a hard thing to do, but you have to have the stones. If you drafted him and you plan on keeping a guy, I'm out of breath. I ran down the stairs back up.
I was gonna say,
I may need to get in better shape.
It would have been great if you took a leak
shape.
And we could hear it.
Help me! I need to get in shape. I need exercise. But yeah, it's a hard thing to start a guy after he burns you as a starting pitcher. I get it.
So, just so you could feel better, Govier, Hunter Brown got out of that only allowing one run.
We mentioned him on the last one.
Yep.
Yep.
But so, Uncle Ted had mentioned AJ Smith Shaver, and wanted to bring up he is really, really struggling. They have him working on some stuff, but he's really struggling with commanding it. He's supposed to be expanding his repertoire. He is not doing well expanding it. So far, a nice 18 ERA in two starts. So,
Who gives this early, though, right? We know he's the guy. He's the preferred arm. If you're looking to stash an Atlanta starter who could come up and be a guy in the rotation, it's definitely Shaver, right?
Oh, yeah. And as far as long-term, I know Jamie had asked about Dylan Dodd. Dylan Dodd's a back-end fill-in guy that could be okay for you for a matchup type of guy, but I wouldn't.
Yep.
I wouldn't touch him. So
I'm with you there all the way. I completely agree with that. Gentlemen, anything else we want to cover here? We've done an hour and 20 minutes of the Plotsville Podcast. Two L's, two Z's, Michael Govier, Big Gentle Ben, Benjamin Chase on Twitter, RobbieBaseball1, RobbieBaseball on Twitter X. I'm an MJ Govier. Of course, you follow everybody else in the Plotsville Podcast galaxy. Anything else we didn't cover that we need to talk about, gentlemen?
No, I think we've talked about everything you'll let us talk about.
Mike, that's right.
Mike Trout's amazing again. Baseball is good.
Yeah, enjoy it. Let's enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was never about his, it was just about the back. That was my only concern. He's still a 40 homer guy, but it was just this. I admit, I got a little bit freaked out that this back thing was going to become more degenerative and not better as he aged. And, you know, he could still fall down this season. It could go sideways, but there's no doubt. Watching him swing a bat, it's one of the most easy, enjoyable, comforting things as a fantasy manager to have. Mike Trout hitting dongs is safe and sound for you. And if he's not on the IL, he's money. He really is.
No.
He's not news, right? But
yeah. One of the greatest players of of any generation, but absolutely probably the greatest player of the current generation. And it's, you know, you could argue when all is said and done, an argument might be able to be made for Mookie Betts, but he has a long ways to go to catch the lead that Mike Trout already has. And that's
I'm just so pissed.
We were so blessed to be able to see that talent, and I did not want to have his career finish out the way that like Albert Pujols did.
Being
a detriment to the lineup, things like that. You wanted to see him be able to come back and really put up good numbers. I mean, but folks that have been freaking out, the guy hit 40 bombs 2 years ago In 2022, he hit 40 home runs. But because the Angels suck so bad, and I believe that was one of Otani's out years, yeah, he only had 80 RBI. 40 home runs and 80 RBI. That's just ridiculous. But, I mean, this guy has still got it. And he always, when he's healthy, he always has. So.
Oh, man, yeah, dude. I'm so bummed. In my home league, we keep a rotation. We go from six keepers to eight the next year to 10 after that. And then we go back down to eight to six each year.
Oh, that's fun.
It is fun. I like it. I used to think it was weird, but I really, yeah, I really cherish it now. It's cool. It's a little variety, but you're still keeping players. But I finally moved Mike Trout in that home league. That's my head-to-head 14 teams, 5x5 head-to-head cats. Shout out BYB. Bless you, boys. See you guys. And I moved Mike Trout, who'd been on my squad for almost 7 years, three championships for Bo Bichette last year.
Can't do it.
I'm really, really, I am, it hurts right now. On April 16th, 2024, Bo Bichette for Mike Trout hurts badly, and I'm really sad about it. It's also OBP, where Trout's even more valuable.
So
yeah, Trout's almost as good as Spencer Steer this year. So
yeah, you know, close. It's close, but yeah.
I kept Steer, by the way, on that team. That's my redemption.
You're a Steerman.
Diehard Steerman. I actually, Steer was so good last year already, and I loved it. I have this phenomenon that happens that the following year, for some reason, I'm off a guy when I was really on them the year before when they were coming into the league and
you don't
being
get
a difference
burned.
Maker. Well, it's just because his ADP went up. That's a stupid reason. Steer plays in a park that's awesome for him. He plays multiple positions. He's a legitimate professional hitter. I should have had more Steer in redraft. I got him in plenty of dynasty and keepers, but not really in redraft. And that's a regret I already have in 2024.
Well, one of his biggest issues this offseason was the fact that they kept filling in around him.
Yeah.
Right? Like every position, you know, Candelario comes in. Well, that's going to take away, you know, Marte, blah, blah, blah. That's going to take away. No, he's an everyday guy. So, Govia, do you have anything else to interrupt Ben? I'm out of ways.
I know, I could. I was like, we interrupt Ben one more time. Yeah. The thing is, when you keep talking over Ben, then you interrupt him, he doesn't get to talk. It's not cool, but, you know.
Yeah. So, I just...
Nobody really likes him either. Because they're just what does Ben have to say?
I was curious about exactly how good Trout has been. And so, 2021 to 2024. So, the last few years, he's only played 253 games. But his 162 game pace over that time, 47 home runs, 33 doubles, 4 triples, a 165 OPS. When he's on the field, the guy is still legit one of the best players in the entire game.
There's no doubt about it, Ben.
He's hamsing it up.
Hams, that's a lame beer. Also, Jamie wants to let people know. It is. Next Thursday, NFL Draft Show for Jamie over there at Out of Rhythm Sports. Come join me for a live reaction. That's right. The NFL Draft will be in my hometown here, Metro Detroit, where they put up really, really pathetic and lame Detroit.
Billboards?
Yeah, it's not billboards. They made sign like the Hollywood sign in California, except it's only 8 feet tall. The Hollywood sign is 45 feet tall, and it looks so dumb. It's classic Detroit. Also put some money into a stupid sign instead of helping your own citizens survive. That's classic Detroit. That's classic America, folks. For you Canadians, we're trying to school you on how it is in this country.
We got a government screwing us over real good.
Hey, everybody screwed. Hey, yeah.
We're all in trouble.
Germany, Latvia, everybody. Brazil, everybody's fucked. But you know what? You're not fucked when you listen to this show because we're here for you. We support you. We care about you. We love doing the show. This is a fun show. We got to talk baseball. We went back and took a look at what we were hyping up in the offseason. So we hope you enjoyed that. Make sure you follow Ben on Twitter. Big Gentle Ben, Robbie Baseball 1. I'm at MJ Govia. Plotter Podcast 2 L's.
Utah.
2 Z's.
Give me 2.
And that'll do it, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure speaking about baseball with all of you and everybody else in the live chat. Big JB.
Power prospects is a curious thing.
Bye.
Make a person trade everything for a king. Why in Langford? Your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.